The following program, Normal Show Live, is intended for responsible adults only. We advocate for the repeal of marijuana prohibition for adults. We discuss the science, culture, and controversy about America's marijuana laws. We do not advocate or encourage any illegal activity and advise all listeners to learn their state and federal marijuana laws by visiting normal.org, N-O-R-M-L.org. Opinions and claims made by guests and advertisers of Normal Show Live are their own and do not necessarily reflect the philosophy and policies of Normal. Listener discretion is advised.
You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it.
And it goes down smooth. Hey!
Spanning the continent to bring you the truth about cannabis and marijuana law reform.
I smoke pot and I like it a lot.
From the promise of legalization.
And I think we need to rethink and decriminalize our marijuana laws.
To the agony of prohibition.
One major responsibility is to encourage people to use less drugs.
The National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws presents
We Love the Herb.
Normal Show Live, Marijuana Nation. Now, here's your host, Normal's Outreach Coordinator. Radical Russ Belville.
Good afternoon, tokers and tokettes. It is Wednesday, December 29th, 2010, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. Thanks for joining me for the next 60 minutes of news, talk, interviews, information, music, comedy, and more. Podcast as the Normal Daily Audio Stash, followed by another 60 minutes of live Toker Talk Radio right here at Stick'em on Normal Show Live. We're glad to have you here. I'm running solo today and for the rest of the year. Ganja John is still on vacation, and Cannabis Carry is taking the rest of the year off. Well-deserved break for Cannabis Carry, who works so hard for this show. Both Cannabis Carry and Ganja John donate about 15 hours of volunteer time per week to make this show possible, and I can't thank them enough for doing that. It's so wonderful. They make this show what it is today. And speaking of making this show what it is today, I want to make an announcement that I'm very proud of, that I have been named in a tie as Best Internet Radio Host by celebstoner.com. Thank you. Tied with McKenna from Marijuana Radio. And the latest news is that McKenna won't be doing Marijuana Radio anymore. Apparently, Paul Cerini is going solo on Marijuana Radio. So we hope McKenna lands somewhere good, because she's doing a great job out there, and I'm glad to share that award with her. I'm also proud to announce that the Normal Show Live has been named, and not in a tie, as the Best Internet Radio Show by celebstoner.com. That's right. And you folks helped make that possible by continuing to listen in and continuing to support the show. So thank you so much. And I promise 2011 is going to be even better. Coming up on today's show, we have got your daily Toker Tunes. We'll be joined by Grateful Dread out there in Summit, New Jersey, bringing us some great Irie Wednesday music. And then at half past the hour, as we do every Wednesday, we'll be visiting with Dr. Mitch Earlywine in our Ask Dr. Mitch segment. You can get your questions in at our phone line, 971-533-7111. Or by dialing into our chat on Stick'em. You just have to send us a friend request. You can get your questions in on chat, and we will ask Dr. Mitch. And then at the end of the show, over these next 3 days, I'm going to be playing you my top three favorite radical rants that I've done over the past year. Today's radical rant number three, my number three favorite, is my look at local K2 Portland news reporter Anna Song and her in-depth undercover investigation on how easy it is to get a medical marijuana card if you qualify for it. All of that and more is coming up on today's Normal Show Live. Thanks for being here. We'll be right back after this.
You're listening to Normal Show Live, the voice of the Marijuana Nation. Been busted? Need a lawyer? Call the Normal Legal Committee for an attorney near you. Find one at norml.org. Remember, attorneys are cheaper than a lifelong criminal drug record.
Is that freedom? Freedom. I'm free to live.
Georgia.
Hi, this is Willie Nelson, and I need your help. Our marijuana laws are terribly unfair, and they make criminals out of law-abiding citizens. Nearly 2,000 Americans are arrested every day on marijuana charges. And we are unfairly destroying the lives and careers of hundreds of thousands of people simply because they smoke marijuana. These are not criminals. They are average citizens like you, good neighbors who work hard, raise families, pay taxes, and contribute to their communities. And it's time we stopped arresting responsible marijuana smokers. We need your help to end marijuana prohibition once and for all. It's the fair thing to do.
For more information, contact NORML, the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws. Call toll-free 888-67-NORML or visit their website at norml.org.
Medical marijuana, industrial hemp, consumer cannabis. It's time for this week's NORML News with Cannabis Carry.
Cannabis Carry has the day off. I'm Radical Russ Belville with your NORML News. Free marijuana for food bank donation at Santa Cruz Area Dispensary. The Associated Press is reporting on the Granny Perps Dispensary in Sokol in Santa Cruz County, California, which is offering a free joint to all patients who bring in 4 cans of food for a local food bank. Patients are limited to just 3 joints a day, however, making a potential dozen cans of food donated for every patient. The food bank, the Second Harvest Food Bank, has noticed the increased donations from the cannabis community. According to the Santa Cruz Sentinel, in all, Granny Perps handed out 2,000 joints to dispensary clients and collected 11,000 pounds of food, a large and exceptional contribution for a business of its size. Quote, "We look at pounds donated per employee, and Granny Perps, with about 8 employees, received the amount of donations that we'd expect a business with 30 to 40 employees to get," end quote, said Danny Keith, Chief Development and Technology Officer at Second Harvest. Some patients were bringing in far more than the minimum donation, such as the Sentinel's report of a patient who brought in a 5-pound bag of rice. Growers were also donating some of the marijuana to be rolled into the giveaway joints. But there's still one aspect of this story that disturbs me. Again, from the Sentinel, quote, "When the Second Harvest barrels were first put out of the dispensary in November, donations were trickling in. After word of the promotion spread to the dispensary's 1,900 patients, the employees at Granny Perps could barely keep up with the flood of food and even reduce the minimum amount for the promotion from 4 cans of food to 3. Quote, "We only had the barrels out there for 3 or 4 days before the incentive was announced, and I think our patients would have come out even without the incentive. We have an incredible group of compassionate patients," said Nancy Granny Perps Black. "I love that our patients are so compassionate. When we told them we were doing this, their response was amazing," end quote. Okay. Well, the Sentinel goes on to explain that the free joints regularly cost $10. Really? $10 for a joint? Well, let's see. I can go buy a dozen cans of peas for less than $1 a can, turn them into Granny Perps for $30 worth of joints? Well, who wouldn't be compassionate? 2,000 joints handed out is $20,000 worth of product that Granny Perps could just give away without feeling any hurt on their bottom line. Do you think maybe these dispensaries are marking up their prices just a little too high? I mean, maybe those barrels could have remained out there for truly compassionate donations without any joints bribed or anything like that. And Granny Perps could have just cut a $20,000 check to the food bank. Look, I'm happy that the food bank got their food. And I'm happy that the patients of Granny Perps were able to get marijuana for, you know, less than $10 a joint. You know, something reasonable like the $3 to $5 it would cost for that canned food. But I am disappointed that prohibition still exists and that patients have become accustomed to paying so much for marijuana. Remember, this is a medicine that they're supposed to be allegedly collectively cultivating and cooperatively distributing. Shouldn't cost $10 a joint. In another story, dad's photos of 2-year-old son with marijuana equals child abuse? As reported by WSMV-TV, Nashville, Tennessee, Portland, Tennessee police arrested a father Monday after they discovered pictures of his 2-year-old son packaging marijuana. Police said they were called about a domestic altercation between a husband and wife. During the investigation, officers said they found images on Christopher Bradley's phone of his 2-year-old son standing at a table and packaging marijuana. Other pictures showed the child placing marijuana into a jar, as well as a large amount of marijuana, rolling papers, and a lighter on the table. Bradley, age 30, is charged with child abuse, child neglect, and domestic assault. He's scheduled to be in court January 26th. Now, let me pull this photo up for you just so you can see exactly what we're talking about. This is the photo in question. You can see the little pile of marijuana. Looks like maybe a quarter ounce of marijuana. There's a pack of rolling papers near it. And on the table there, there's a, looks like the kid's got a jar with some marijuana buds in front of him. And maybe he's placing his hand or putting the buds in the jar. For this photo, the man is being charged with child abuse, child neglect, and, of course, the earlier report of domestic assault. And look, I hate being in the position of having to defend this guy. I am not at all fond of guys who get into these so-called domestic altercations with their wives. And I'm not happy about cannabis consumers being irresponsible and allowing their kids access to their stash. And, of course, I'm disappointed every time there's a story of a cannabis consumer doing something stupid like taking photos of their kid with weed. But child abuse? I don't think so. That seems way too severe to me. There's no report of the child actually being abused. The child didn't eat any of the cannabis, which is about the only harm he could have possibly suffered. Well, you know, aside from the risk of police bursting in with no-knock warrants and automatic weapons and shooting up the dog. And even if the kid did eat cannabis, he's not going to die from it. He's not going to suffer any lasting harm from it. I think child neglect is appropriate because, you know, he wasn't paying attention to the kid or he's allowing the kid to get in the stash. That might be appropriate. But if we're going to charge this guy with child abuse, there's a whole lot of other people that need to be charged with child abuse, too. I'm referring folks on the webcam here to a slideshow that I've brought up of kids and beer. And look, I've got a link to it up at our blog at stash.normal.org. And this will take you right to the Google image searches. And there are literally 4 million pictures that come up in Google image search when I put kid with beer minus rock. I had to put minus rock in there to get rid of the kid rock links that would come up. But photos of kids taking cans of beer out of the case. Here's a picture of a, looks like an older gentleman, maybe with his grandson, holding a small glass of beer up to the kid as he drinks. Here's a picture of a little infant asleep with a half full bottle of beer in his lap. We seem to have no problem when it's images of kids around alcohol, which we know can be fatal to them, which we know can be harmful to them. But when I go look this stuff up on Google, it doesn't say anything about kids, you know, child abuse, kids being pictured with beer. We need to lock up their parents. No, in fact, the title of one of the pages that I got most of these images of the baby with the Dos Equis, of the mother here holding the bottle of beer up to her young little daughter. The title of the page I got these pictures from was called Funny Pictures, Funny Beer Drinking Baby. That's what it's called. Funny Beer Drinking Baby. It's funny when the kid's walking the parade streets with a can of Coors Light in his hand. It's funny when the kid's in the shopping cart with the, that's completely chock full of alcohol. That's funny. But if it's of a picture of a kid with a little bit of marijuana, putting it into a jar, we gotta charge the guy with child abuse and hold him up as the model of bad parenting. This is the ultimate in hypocrisy and just another example of the idiocy of this war on marijuana. Finally, a report here from U.S. News and World Report, increase in marijuana rehab, looks at a 10-year look at drug rehab admissions. This is something the federal government puts out called the Treatment Episode Data Set, or TEDS. And, of course, we've got links to TEDS up at our blog at stash.normal.org. It's very useful. They even provide a quick table section that allows you to pick the variables and draw the graphs and do the studies on your own. So you don't have to take my word for any of the statistics I'm about to give you. You can look them up for yourself. This is from the U.S. News and World Report health section. The blaring headline is, Drug Abuse Treatment Rates on the Rise, U.S. Report. A 15% drop for alcohol abuse, while cases of marijuana and prescription painkiller abuse rise. Admission for alcohol abuse treatment have remained the same in parts of the Midwest and South, while dropping everywhere else in the United States. While treatment rates for illegal drugs are increasing across the country, especially for marijuana use, according to the new report. The overall rate of substance abuse admissions in the United States remained stable from 1998 to 2008 at about 770 admissions per 100,000 people. Admission rates for marijuana use rose by 30% nationwide. So let's take a look at those figures. You know I'm going to. See if I understand it correctly. From 1998 to 2008, we have the same rate of people admitted to treatment for drug abuse, 770 out of 100,000. But now fewer of them are alcoholics and more of them are cannabis consumers. This is a success story? Did problem drinking decrease during that decade? I mean, is there a reason why we're seeing fewer people admitted for alcohol abuse? Did the alcoholism go down? Well, there's a few statistics we could take a look at. I took a look at one table that shows me that alcohol-related motor vehicle fatalities, you know, drunk drivers on the road, the worst of the alcohol abusers, have remained consistent between 36 and 38% during the decade of 1998 through 2008, while the alcohol abuse admissions to rehabs have dropped by 15%. So, same number of drunk driving deaths on the road, but admissions for alcohol abuse have gone down 15%. Also, per capita consumption of beer, wine, and spirits actually increased from 2.14 gallons per year per person in 1998 to 2.31 gallons per person per year by 2007. They don't have the numbers yet for 2008. So we got more alcohol being consumed. We got the same number of people drunk driving on the roads and killing people, yet 15% fewer of these alcoholics are being admitted to treatment. Now, meanwhile, we've got 30% more admissions to rehab for marijuana over that same period between 1998 and 2008. You know what else increased between 1998 and 2008? Marijuana arrests and the use of drug courts that force marijuana arrestees to choose between rehab and jail. In 1998, there were 682,000 arrests for marijuana nationwide. In 2008, there were 847,000 arrests nationwide, an increase of, surprise, 24%. In 1998, there were 347 drug courts nationwide. In 2008, there were 2,301 drug courts nationwide, an increase of 592%. So it's no surprise that we have 30% more marijuana admissions when we have 24% more arrests and five times, nearly six times more drug courts to sentence those people to rehab. Now, how bad do these people really need rehab? Well, according to the TEDS that they are referencing here in the U.S. News and World Report, 57% of the people admitted to rehab for marijuana are court or criminal justice referrals, which largely represents people who have just merely been caught with marijuana. Only 15% of the people in rehab for marijuana are people that referred themselves because they felt they had a problem with marijuana dependence. Now, compare that to alcohol, where only 39% of those in alcohol rehab are there because they were referred by a court. And remember, because alcohol is legal, they're not being referred by a court because they just got caught with a beer. They're being referred because they committed a crime that they harmed others from their alcohol use. They drove drunk or they harmed someone through their alcohol use. 39% referred by the court, whereas 57% of marijuana users referred by the court just because they used marijuana. Also, the self-referrals for alcohol are 30%, double the rate for marijuana. Twice as many people, by rate, believe they have a problem with alcohol and admit themselves to rehab than do for marijuana. To compare further, let's look at how much marijuana and alcohol they were using when they got to rehab. 38% of those in rehab who had been using alcohol daily compared to 11% who had been using marijuana daily. In fact, 37% of the marijuana users hadn't even used marijuana in the 30 days prior to being admitted to rehab. The facts are that arrests for marijuana lead to rehab admissions for marijuana, whether the users need treatment or not. This is a shift of drug rehab resources from alcoholics and hard drug addicts that need it to marijuana users who don't. I suspect it's also a whole lot more likely that a marijuana user is employed and has the kind of health insurance that pays the bills for drug rehab compared to the average heroin or meth addict. Oh, it's lonely here in the studio. I can't take a break with Carrie. I can't take a break with Ganja John. I guess I'll have to take a break with all of you. Light 'em up, load 'em up. Let's get it on. It's 20 after.
It's 20 after the hour. And we have to take a short break, if you know what I mean. Please support these sponsors who support Normal Show Live.
Oh, have you ever met that funny reefer man? A reefer man. Have you ever met that funny reefer man? A reefer man. If he said he swam to China, he would say to South Carolina. Then you know you're talking to that reefer man.
In today's busy world, we're inundated by advertising for all types of pharmaceuticals that come with a laundry list of potential side effects. Shouldn't you have better medical choices? Natural alternatives to pills pushed by Big Pharma? At Alternative Medical Choices, you could choose natural, safe, and effective alternative therapies that are right for your budget without nasty side effects. Cannabis, or marijuana, has been a legal medicine in the Pacific Northwest since 1998. Our doctors will help determine your qualifications for a medical marijuana recommendation in Oregon, no matter where you live. Our massage therapist will ease your aches and stress with soothing hemp seed oil or cannabis-infused massage salves. We also offer acupuncture, Reiki, and other alternative health therapies. Call Alternative Medical Choices in Portland, Oregon at 503-288-5579 or visit our website at www.altmedchoices.com. We specialize in out-of-state recommendations. That's www.altmedchoices.com or call 503-288-5579.
It's time for your Daily Toker Tunes, the best in 420-friendly music from all genres that uplifts, entertains, and informs the public. Our PodSafe music is donated by freedom-loving musicians who support our goal of ending adult marijuana prohibition. Today we get tunes for Irie Wednesday, our celebration of that mellow vibe we find in the best of reggae, ska, calypso, and Latin music. Brought to you by Grateful Dread Public Radio, Summit, New Jersey's progressive peace station at gdreadradio.net. If you'd like to submit your song to be played on Normal Show Live, send it to us at stash@normal.org. Now, here's some great independent marijuana music for today's Daily Toker Tunes.
Greetings, friends. Grateful Dread with you from the studios of Grateful Dread Public Radio in Summit, New Jersey, where it is freezing and the ground is covered in snow. Thank goodness we have blistering hot reggae music to keep our temperatures rising. This week, we've got plenty of it from a woman making big noise in the reggae world. If you're in tune with the reggae charts at all, you surely have heard of Queen Ifrica. The Montego Bay native's big voice and bold statements have won her an enthusiastic following, eager to hear her takes on life, love, female empowerment, and spirituality. Ifrica was born in 1975 as Ventrice Morgan. She comes from reggae roots. Her dad is none other than ska legend Derek Morgan. Now, she didn't grow up with her dad, but she did follow in his footsteps. In 1995, winning first prize in a local talent contest set her along a path that led to working with Tony Rebel's Flames Productions, and that led her to an international career. The Queen, she's also known as Faya Mama, has reigned at music festivals around the world over the past decade plus, and she's scored with huge rebel music hits such as Lioness on the Rise, Randy, and Boxers in Stockings. In addition to her work as an artist, Ifrica spends a lot of time working to make the world a better place. One of her volunteer activities is working with Jamaica's Committee for Community, which helps poor people struggling in inner-city Kingston. You know what? Philanthropy is hot, and so is her music. The cut we're going to hear comes from her recent Faya Mama album. It's called Burn Some Herbs With Me.
Burn some herb with me.
Burn some herb with me.
Can you stay just a little longer?
Just a little longer.
Don't leave me alone.
Just a little longer.
Load a chalice with me.
Burn some herb tonight.
Oh, yeah. Share a marijuana kiss with the taste of fruits wine under the moonlight. All night. Tell you this today, just can't let you get away. Ain't got no time to play. That's your most dangerous delay. Forget about the past, that's yesterday. In your arms is where I wanna be. You look at me, I look away. The night light spread across your face. I look forward to the memories. We both thought it was a phase. Things grew stronger by the day. So on this occasion, would you like to burn some herb with me?
Burn some herb with me tonight.
Can you stay just a little longer? Don't leave me alone.
Just a little longer.
Share a chalice with me.
Burn some herb tonight.
Share marijuana kiss with the taste of fruit wine under the moonlight. All night. Best friends turn lovers is what we are. And me happy say we never met in a no bar. Here we are together, something great has just begun. No need to worry, baby, bring it on. It is good to know that deep inside you felt the same. Cause I always thought you had a thing for Mary Jane. Even though I tried to hide it, I could feel the pain. Me could not live without you, me, I tell you plain. Can I ask you to stay and burn some herb with me? Tonight. Ooh, baby. Can you stay? Just a little longer. Don't leave me alone. Load that chalice with me.
Burn some
hot
tonight.
Oh, yeah. Share a marijuana kiss with the taste of Brooklyn under the moonlight. All night. I got to tell you this today. Just can't let you get away. Ain't got no time to play. Let all those dangerous delay. Forget about the past, that's yesterday. In your arms is where I wanna be. You look at me, I look away. The night light spread across your face. I look forward to the memories. We both thought it was a phase. Things grew stronger by the day. So on this occasion, would you love to
song for your iPod? Check out the Daily Toker Tunes at the Stash blog by surfing to stash.normal.org and choosing media and then Toker Tunes from the main menu.
Starfish Designs, makers of the original Gambell.
I'm Radical Russ, and when I want to relax, I always have my 17-inch long original Gandalf from Starfish Designs nearby. The hand-blown borosilicate glass is strong and easy to clean, and the design is sleek and sophisticated. Starfish Designs are available from Bend, Oregon at a glass retailer near you. For locations, call 541-788-GLASS. That's 541-788-4527. Normal Show Live reminds you to never consent to a search. If you're holding and you consent, in most states you will be arrested immediately and you will go to jail. If you don't consent to a search, police may try to intimidate you by threatening to bring in drug-sniffing dogs or try to fool you by saying things will go easier if you consent. Yeah, easier for them, sure. Stand your ground, refuse the search, and ask the officer if you're free to go. If they still detain you and eventually find your contraband, you'll be no more busted than if you had allowed the search. But by refusing the search, your attorney has a chance to win your acquittal before a judge. If you consent to the search, your attorney's hands are tied. You can find a list of Normal Legal Committee attorneys specializing in marijuana cases by visiting the Find a Lawyer link at normal.org.
It's time for Normal Show Live's Cannabis Science with Dr. Mitch Earlywine. Dr. Earlywine is a professor of psychology at the State University of New York in Albany and the author of Understanding Marijuana. Now here's your dose of cannabis science.
Welcome back, folks. 29 after the hour, and we're joined, as we are every Wednesday, by Dr. Mitch. Dr. Mitch Earlywine, welcome back to the show.
Great to be on.
Well, thank you for being on, and I apologize for not having Carrie here today to guide you through the call-in process. You're just hanging on there and hoping against hope, so I'm glad you're here.
Oh, glad to be here.
Here we are at the end of 2010, and I was just thinking we could start off by taking a look back over this year and maybe getting your opinion on what some of the big scientific breakthroughs have been in marijuana research this year.
What's intriguing is sort of under the radar, we're seeing tons and tons of data suggesting that hemp seed is a wonderful source of protein and really a good, inexpensive way to keep your health in good shape. And I'm hoping that that work will reach the public more in a straightforward way. The lovely work in the medical cannabis community, including some of my own persuasions on transdermal, basically the rubs and the salves and the various ointments that people have been talking about for literally centuries, are clearly showing some wonderful evidence for pain and a number of other ailments. And then this really intriguing data set that we saw from Amanda Ryman suggesting that a number of folks with hard drug problems have turned to cannabis and successfully kicked hard drugs. in a way that has completely turned their health around. And I feel like with those, you know, three themes, we've really set the stage for really changing some ridiculous laws that really started from racist ideas back in the 1930s. It's obviously time to let all this stuff go.
Absolutely. And in the interest of collecting more data, Normal has posted on our front page a call out for your latest survey. Tell our listeners how they can get involved with that.
The clincher there is if you're willing to click on the link and just answer as honestly as possible. I don't want to bias the sampling by saying I'm looking for this or that or the other, but I'm definitely going to be addressing some of the key issues we've been talking about. Folks have been emailing me about some various symptoms that they have and how cannabis helps it. And so I'm just really trying to address those questions more globally and also take a look at some ideas we all have about what's a reasonable price to pay for cannabis that's actually going to connect us to the alcohol literature in a way that I think is going to prove yet again that marijuana is safer.
Mm. We're speaking with Dr. Mitch Earlywine from SUNY Albany, author of Parents Guide to Marijuana, in addition to many books on the subject. And if you've got a question, you can get in on our chat room. Just send me a private message so I can get that question loaded up on my screen. Or you can call in live here at 971-533-7111. Now, Dr. Mitch, I just did a story in our headlines about a man who had taken a picture, not very wisely, but he had taken a picture of his two-year-old son handling cannabis. And now this man's being charged with child abuse. I'm wondering if you could give an opinion on that, whether or not that's, you know, too severe a charge, and what could be the possible harms of children getting into your stash?
I think you laid it out excellently, Russ, in the contrast with the number of photos you see of kids walking around with a beer. And obviously, this is not classic child abuse. We do have laws about child endangerment that include proximity to dangerous substances. But again, the actual ingestion of cannabis isn't something that seems to be documented in these photos. I'm always a little disturbed when I hear about police looking at people's photos on their phones, and I'm confused about how that can be even relevant in a domestic dispute, but that's an aside. Mm. And then the clincher is, yes, if children ate cannabis, they would get intoxicated, as anyone would with ingesting over a gram or so. But again, this is a substance without a lethal dose. They would certainly be disoriented. They would probably respond well to a couple of antihistamines, some reassurance, and a nice couple of hours of cartoons, and this would not be a giant disaster, but it's just not something that we want to get behind. I'm really concerned that this guy has done this. Nevertheless, this doesn't actually qualify as child abuse. I think the child endangerment laws would be much more appropriate in a charge like this.
Yeah. Our friend Tim Martin from the John Doe Radio Show is in the chat room, and he points out the fact that the state of Colorado, with their new bills regarding medical marijuana, says that children can't be in the same house where cannabis is growing. It just seems absurd to me that we would think that the sight of a growing houseplant is something we need to keep kids away from.
The irony about that, too, is there's so many more dangerous things in everybody's house that nobody even pays attention to. Right now, a swimming pool certainly is markedly more lethal than any plants you could grow. And so I think, you know, if we can trust folks to have their kids around swimming pools, certainly we can trust them to be around a couple of grow lights.
Mm. All right, we got a call coming in from the 808 area code. 808, what's your question for Dr. Mitch?
And so my mom is a diabetic, and she has neuropathy. She's extremely overweight. She retains water. Her kidneys are bad. She had a dialysis already. And I almost have her talked into trying edibles. She's in Georgia. Would it be hard to get a card? Or also, with her being diabetic, do they have any edibles that you would suggest that are sugar-free?
Okay, good questions here. Getting edible use for diabetics, and maybe also, Dr. Mitch, talk about how we've found cannabis to be useful for diabetic neuropathy.
The clincher is neuropathy does respond very well to medical cannabis, and it's one of those pains that other medications doesn't seem to do a particularly good job with. Unfortunately, Georgia is not a medical marijuana state, and I, of course, didn't want to recommend breaking the law there. The problem with edibles can be slow ingestion and a difficult time dealing with dosage, so if you would consider vaporization, it might be another plus. And then The key would be to start with low doses and then to make sure that she's got a strain that isn't really heavy on the increase in appetite so she doesn't end up binging on inappropriate foods. So I think laying out a nice salad and some lean proteins and having them there ready, using the vaporizer and starting with extremely small doses, and then really measuring her neuropathic pain and its response would be the way to go. But blood sugar is an extremely volatile thing, and so she'd have to be able to monitor and make sure her responses seem reasonable. And it's a complicated set of trial and error, unfortunately, but one where we do have data that neuropathy does respond well to this medicine.
Okay, we've got some questions coming in from the chat room. We'll get to those in just a second because we have another live caller calling in, and I always like to get the live calls in when we can. So welcome to the show. We've got the 949 area code. What's your question for Dr. Mitch?
Hi, I was actually wondering, I'm a medical marijuana patient, and I'm trying to get my grandma into it for Alzheimer's, and I'm afraid that she might be coming up with some Alzheimer's or seeing symptoms of that. And I kind of was curious of the benefits and how does medical marijuana help with that. Thank you.
All right.
It's extremely difficult to diagnose Alzheimer's while someone is actually alive. So she may actually have vascular dementia rather than Alzheimer's, and so it's hard to be able to guess how she would respond under these circumstances. Unfortunately, older folks tend to metabolize drugs more slowly and respond to smaller doses, so she would probably react extremely a lot to a what we would consider a rather small dose. So it can be a very touchy subject on this. Unfortunately, no drugs are proving particularly compelling for reversing Alzheimer's symptoms, and only a couple have shown any promise for even decreasing the rate of decline. So I don't know, other than some of the animal work, if this is really going to be all that helpful. However, if she's lost a lot of appetite and her mood seems horrid and if she's disruptive, there are some data suggesting that it could be helpful under those circumstances, and we've even seen pharmaceutical Marinol respond. Patients do okay on that. So I think, again, the clincher would be a really small dose, trying with a vaporizer, and then really monitoring very closely what her symptoms are like. And the problem is some of the sativa strains in particular can be a little disorienting. And so if, you know, did it late at night when she was already feeling well and pretty much in a good set and setting, there would be some promise. But this is not going to turn Alzheimer's around or necessarily help a whole lot. And if it's vascular dementia, it may actually not do anything at all. So unfortunately, we just don't have the data yet.
Okay. We have a question from our chat room now that says, I've been using hash oil more, and I've noticed that some oils will make me have trouble catching my breath or even cause gagging and vomiting. Is this something that is normal?
No, that's not normal, and I don't mean to denigrate anybody's ability at producing hash oil, but that suggests that some of the later stages in the process may not have run their course, so to speak. So I would recommend turning to a different product under those circumstances.
Okay. We're speaking with Dr. Mitch Earlywine from SUNY Albany, author of Pot Politics and so many other books on marijuana and marijuana reform. You can get your questions in here in our chat room or by dialing 971-533-7111, or you can send an email directly to Dr. Mitch at 420research@gmail.com. Now, of late, there's been a lot of talk about marijuana and DUI. This has been a subject that's come up quite a bit. The state of Colorado is currently looking at setting a 5 nanograms per milliliter of THC in the blood to be a per se drugged driving limit. Our question here from John Doe Radio wants to know is there some sort of time frame that you could give marijuana consumers to know how many nanograms they'd have in their body, you know, by hour, you know, based on use? Something similar to what we have with beer where they have the chart. They say, well, if you're 180 pounds, you can have 3 beers, you'd be below 0.08. Is there something like that for cannabis use?
Unfortunately, no, and partly the problem is that those alcohol ones are actually a little bit misleading in the first place and aren't as accurate as they often pretend to be. But with cannabis, this is why I'd prefer a roadside sobriety approach rather than a nanograms approach. At least they're suggesting in the blood rather than these horrid urine screens that could be from cannabis use 2 weeks ago. Nevertheless, I feel like the better rule of thumb would be to focus on functionality. I cannot recommend using cannabis and driving subsequently. However, if you can stand on one foot with another foot extended out in front of you for 30 seconds without falling down, if you can do the various tasks that you're often seeing as stereotypes for the drunk driving measures of roadside sobriety, that can at least give you a clue. Are you, you know, in the neighborhood now? But unfortunately, usually immediately after smoking a joint, you're well above 5 nanograms per milliliter of blood, and that would take roughly, you know, depending on the size of your inhalations, the potency of the pot, there are just too many variables to really guess. And unfortunately, even on the descending limb, once you're no longer noticing any subjective effects, particularly if you're a tolerant user, you could still be well above 5 nanograms per milliliter. So that is a cutoff that I understand why they're going in that direction, but I would really prefer a roadside sobriety thing, and unfortunately, I can't give generalizations for how long and how much and what weight.
Yeah, and what we've seen here, you know, Paul Armentano does a lot of study on this, and I saw a reply he's got to this coming out in a forthcoming publication where he indicates that yes, while 5 nanograms per milliliter of THC in the blood does indicate recent use, that can be recent use within an hour to 2 hours in general, and if it's edible, if it's eaten, it could be within 4 hours. So still not something that's showing impairment. It's only showing use within the past couple of hours. All right.
And actually, depending on the individual, it could be 4 hours even with smoking because we all metabolize so differently. So I really do agree with Paul yet again that we would do better off to measure impairment rather than any kind of metabolites.
Okay. We have a question from Lively Libra who'd like to know if there's any research on using cannabis with cerebral palsy, specifically regarding the spasticity, rigidity, and spasms of cerebral palsy.
As it turns out, despite the intriguing data we've had on Tourette's, a couple of case studies suggesting it was really helpful for that, which share some of the same symptoms, the cerebral palsy data have not been as compelling. And the individual differences are obviously very vast, and the individual strains may be different, but it doesn't look like it's particularly good help, at least in the case studies that have reached publication. Maybe I'll start getting emails now about folks who've responded well to this, but so far we haven't seen that be the case.
Okay, and one final question. Again, folks, if you didn't get your question answered on today's show, you can join us next Wednesday. Dr. Mitch is with us every Wednesday for Cannabis Science, or send your emails directly to 420research@gmail.com. And this is an interesting question. Our grandchild would benefit from the oil. She is having extreme behavior issues, but she is constantly being tested by the medical community. She was recently declared free from leukemia. My question is, would the THC show up in those tests? And also notes that my grandchild is very young.
Unfortunately, yes. So anytime she provides essentially any bodily fluid, it could be tested for THC, even if that's not the primary focus of the test that they claim. And so this puts you in a horrible bind, and in fact, as we've discussed in the past, a horrendous risk for child endangerment or child abuse prosecution, and just not something I can recommend under the circumstances. I'm sorry, it really is a drag.
Yeah, all right. Well, thank you, Dr. Mitch Erlewine, joining us here every Wednesday in Cannabis Science, and I hope 2011 is going to be an even better year for you.
Oh, and hey, congrats to you on those awards, Russ. That was a real delight to see.
Oh, thank you so much. I appreciate the compliment. All right, folks, stick around. Normal Show Live, Voice of the Marijuana Nation. When we come back, we are going to be doing some best of my favorite top three rants that I've done this year. And number three is coming up next here on Normal Show Live. Just as soon as we can move on. It's tough talking to kids about marijuana, especially if you might be a parent who dabbled a time or two in your youth. So to help you out, get your copy of Dr. Mitch Erlewine's latest book, A Parent's Guide to Marijuana. Dr. Erlewine is an associate professor of psychology at the State University of New York at Albany and an expert on the studies concerning marijuana, its effect on health and society, and the methodology behind the statistics. He is a frequent guest here on our daily audio stash. Dr. Erlewine lays it all out without the propaganda and scare tactics that parents know won't work with teenagers. He presents a rational understanding of cannabis, what it is and what it isn't, and why kids shouldn't be using marijuana. You can order today through Amazon.com or check our links at our blog, stash.normal.org.
Are you or is someone you know a marijuana smoker? Have you or is someone in your family been arrested for a marijuana violation? You need to know the truth about pot. NORML, the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws, is the most comprehensive source of information regarding marijuana and its effects on health, as well as legal issues. NORML even offers a database of lawyers specializing in cannabis in your area. NORML, the nation's largest and most successful marijuana law reform organization, has spent decades gathering the knowledge and science on everything related to cannabis. NORML is the best resource to find out the truth about marijuana, connect with a lawyer in your area, or help find an end to prohibition. Information is available at normal.org. That's NORML.org. Or toll free at 888-67-NORMAL.
You want answers?
I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore.
You want answers?
You have offended my family.
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth.
And you have offended Shaolin Temple.
You can't handle the truth.
Surely you can't be serious.
I am serious. And don't call me Shirley.
Radical Rant.
Welcome back, folks. We're digging into the archives for these next 3 days. My best top three radical rants of 2010. Now, understand I only started video recording these back in May, so there might have been a really good rant in January, February, March, or April that I missed. But these next three for the next 3 days are going to be my favorites. This first one, my number three, is Anna Song, who is a reporter at K2 News here in Portland, Oregon, who went undercover at the local one of the local clinics to get a medical marijuana card, with an expose on just how easy it was to get a card. But what you'll find out is it's surely easy to get a card if you qualify for it.
You want answers?
I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore.
You want answers?
You have offended my family.
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth.
And you have offended the Shaolin Temple.
You can't handle the truth.
Surely you can't be serious.
I am serious. And don't call me Shirley.
Radical Rant.
Hello, everyone. This is something I covered on our Friday show, but is actually on the after show, and I wanted to make sure that this got documented properly. We're recording this as well for YouTube, so that's the other reason I had to do this. But time for my radical rant, and this has to do with a story that appeared on my local news here in Portland, Oregon, K2, the Channel 2 news out here, an investigation from Anna Song, who went undercover to report on how easy it is to get a medical marijuana card in the city of Portland, in the state of Oregon, under its medical marijuana program. I've got some video here that we'll show as well, and what I'm going to do is play a little, and then we'll stop and talk about it, and we'll play some more. So this is the Anna Song K2 video.
My quest to get a card begins with a visit to a local medical marijuana clinic. As I approach...
All right, that apparently is going to be a little too... stuttery here for us to get any good video off of that, but want to talk a little bit about this in the video. What you're seeing right here, I'll just play the video and we'll let it play beneath me talking here. Anna Song here, you can see, is kind of in disguise. She's got a hat on and she's approaching this gentleman outside, who's the receptionist for this medical marijuana clinic, who's on a smoke break. Got a little cigarette dangling out there, and she's handing over. He asks to see her medical records, and she hands them over. So I have a problem with that right off the bat, in that it's not a medical marijuana program, it's a medical privacy problem. There is a law called HIPAA, which is all about privacy that medical records should be afforded, and this little action right here is kind of a violation of that. So that was my problem in that part of the video. He takes a look at the records, and she intones that, yes, he's your records are good, and you should come on in here. This other part of the video, and we'll catch this as the screen goes across, is this particular clinic is located on Sandy Boulevard here in Portland, Oregon, and you can't quite see the phone number over there on the side, but the phone number is 503-something-something-something-WEED. Right? So they use the word weed in the phone number, which is kind of disturbing.
It was an easy pick.
Yeah, it was kind of an easy pick. So here they are, and she is trying to, filling out her paperwork for the medical marijuana card. And in this part of the video, she's talking about how she's going in, and she's told that she's supposed to get an appointment at 5:04 the next day, 5 o'clock p.m. And that when she came back from her appointment, or came back for her appointment, that the doctor was late, that she was there for a 5 o'clock appointment. Doctor didn't show up till 6 because because the doctor was out to lunch. And what they're trying to do is to kind of imply that the doctor was gone from noon to six, right? Well, doctors work all kinds of shifts. So if the doctor went out at five and her opponent was appointment was 5:04, the doctor came back at six. That seems pretty reasonable. 1 hour lunch that a doctor would have here. And also being able to get an appointment so quickly, that's something that didn't get pointed out in this video is, you know, you go to get an appointment for any kind of specialist in this country and it takes, you know, weeks or months before you actually get the appointment. This appointment was like 2-3 days later.
Yeah, my dad's a doctor. I've worked reception in this field before, and an appointment the next day is pretty rare.
Yeah, so if anything, this is a story about how good our system is working and being able to get people their appointments quickly. Now, in this portion of the video, Anna Song talks about her own condition and how she wasn't lying about any of the conditions she had when she went in. She has these medical records here, you see, that detail that she's been in 3 car accidents and she's had 2 different appointments within the within 90 days of each other to demonstrate that she has chronic pain from her 3 car accidents that she's been in, that she wasn't at fault in any of them. But yeah. I'm just saying, if Anna Song offers you a ride, maybe, you know, take the bus.
Yeah, maybe.
But she's been in 3 car accidents that weren't her fault, and she suffers scoliosis. So she goes on here to point out, you know, how her neck and her back still hurt her, you know, because she suffered these 3 car accidents and she has scoliosis. And so this kind of leads me to think, what's the undercover part of this? I mean, what's the big undercover part of this if she qualifies?
You qualify. Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. You qualify for
medical
marijuana.
Card.
Oh,
yes.
How are you undercover then? Well, what she's trying to say is undercover here is that she has the scoliosis and the 3 car wrecks and has neck and back pain, but she successfully treated the neck and back pain with massage therapy. So the idea here is that, oh, because something else worked for you, because massage therapy worked, you shouldn't be able to get medical marijuana. It's something I call the medicine of last resort, right? You got to try everything else, and if none of those work and you're really, really hurting, then we can let you smoke weed. It's ridiculous.
It is ridiculous. And I don't know about you guys, but I can't really afford massage therapy.
Well, yeah, massage therapy, great if you can get it. Great if you got insurance that'll even pay for it.
Yeah.
Apparently Anna Song's got that. As she goes on, here's where they're trying to make the frame here. And I wanted to frame this severe pain number one. Look at the artwork on that logo here, this severe pain. Let me back this up just a tad here. Just trying to make it as scary as possible. They use this scary font, you know, this Halloween font, severe pain, like, you know, Frankenstein or something coming up here. You'll see it come up here just a second. Severe pain! Oh, frightening, frightening. And it's the number one reason that people have, it's the number one condition that's listed on cards for people that become patients here in Oregon. Now, this is where they're trying to set this frame of abuse. And this is something our business opponents and our opponents in law enforcement have been trying to shut down the medical marijuana program for years. And one of the ways they want to try to do it is to convince Oregonians that it's been abused. Oh, there's abuse of the system. And one of the things they'll point back to is in 1998, when the measure was on the ballot, Measure 67, there was a financial impact statement that said that the program would cost $147,000 each year on the estimate that there'd be 500 patients a year. Right. And so that's how they're always pointing back to you to say, you guys said there'd only be 500 patients and now there's 33,000. Well, OK, yeah, but the 500 wasn't us saying that. That was the government making a financial impact statement. And 500 a year after 12 years would at least be 6,000 patients. So it's not that much more than what was expected. And to formulate that there would only be 500 every year, that number wouldn't grow as more people became accustomed to the program and more people realized the truth behind cannabis that could be effective pain reliever, of course the number is going to grow. I pointed this out when I made my rant the other day, that in the state of Oregon, we have 2.9 million adults. And according to pain management specialists, 35.5% of all American adults suffer from chronic pain. That would be 1 million Oregonians, if you do the math, 1 million Oregonians who suffer from severe pain. And what do we offer for these Oregonians? We offer them, you know, ibuprofen, you know, your Tylenols, your NSAIDs, your aspirins. And when we start to get to prescriptions, we start talking about OxyContin, Vicodin, Demerol, Darvocet, these kind of things. Every single one of them is toxic. Every single one of the drugs you can take for pain that I just listed can kill you. And the FDA has recently come out with new recommendations that there be stronger warnings on over-the-counter and prescription medicines with acetaminophen and other pain-relieving drugs to say that because of a rash of unintended and intentional overdoses, that people are suffering severe hepatotoxicity. Hepatotoxicity just means liver damage, right? So every possible drug you could take for pain will cause liver damage, except one, and that's cannabis. You cannot overdose from it, it is not toxic, and it will not kill your liver. So is it any surprise that people in pain, once they find out they can use cannabis, choose to do so? Makes perfect sense to me. Now, let me go back to this video here, because here's where they're trying to bend this frame to make people think it's abuse. Severe pain, the number one condition. And what comes up next in the graphic is the number. 33,000 total patients, and out of 33,000, 29,500 with severe pain. So what they're trying to do there is to try to fool people that aren't paying too close attention. They'll think, my God, 33,000, 29,500 with severe pain, that's like what, 80%, 85%? It's like everybody that's getting a medical marijuana card is getting it for pain. This sounds like terrible abuse. Well, as the video goes on, it mentions how the next two conditions for medical marijuana are a, quote, distant second and third, muscle spasms with 7,800 and nausea with 4,800. Now, stop for just a second. 29,500 plus 7,800 plus 4,800, isn't that a whole lot more than 33,000? And as it goes on, you'll see they list the rest of the condition: cancer, seizures, cachexia, HIV, AIDS, glaucoma at 1,200, almost 900, 600, 500, 500. Gosh, doesn't all of that add up to a whole lot more than 33,000? Well, it does. The numbers of all of these other conditions aside from severe pain add up to about half of all of the 33,000 cards. So at least half of the people who have cards, some of them may be putting down severe pain as another condition that they have, right? If you've got multiple sclerosis and you've got severe muscle spasms, there's some pain involved with that. If you got cancer and taking chemotherapy, there's some pain involved with that. HIV AIDS, there's some pain involved there. So this distortion of the facts, them putting up the 33,000 first and then the 29,500, big bold letters, and mentioning those numbers on the voiceover, mind you, and then quickly dispatching with all the other numbers before anyone notices that really about half the people who have cards have them only for severe pain. Now, as the video continues here, Anna Song continues to talk about how she really does have these conditions. She wasn't lying when she went in. However, when she went in to see the doctor here, when she went into this clinic and she gave over her medical records, what I want to know is whether her medical records indicate that the massage therapy relieved her pain. See, if she went in there and showed medical records that show that she'd been in three car accidents and has scoliosis, that's a slam dunk for getting a medical marijuana card, whether or not the massage therapy helped. Here they put the low-grade back pain and massage therapy, but again, if in order to get the card, she would have to tell the doctor she's suffering pain now. She'd have to lie about whether or not that massage therapy helped her. At this point she shows how the doctor had written patient may qualify from medical marijuana, but then crossed out qualify and put in benefit, as if that was some sort of scandal. Yes, she may benefit from medical marijuana because you have documented pain, and medical marijuana works for documented pain. So, as the video continues, she points out the benefit part here, and she speaks with Paul Stanford at the Hemp and Cannabis Foundation, which is a completely different clinic, and she does point that out, that it's a different clinic, and she asks him, in the voiceover, he gets asked, you know, and he mentions that his clinic are going to clear $5 million this year. And again, I feel like they put that in there to say, look at all this money being made by getting people to abuse the system, right? By getting people to claim they have back pain or whatever. Ooh, big bad Paul Stanford, he's making $5 million. Well, first of all, understand that $5 million is from 15 clinics across 10 states, right? So it's not that big a number when you talk about it. And that's talking about the gross that's going to be made, $5 million gross. When you talk about starting to take out the mortgages and the payroll and the advertising and the doctors and so on, it's not that much money. And even if it was, why are we criticizing someone who runs a specialty medical clinic for referrals that are completely legal? Nothing wrong with making money by helping people get relief that they need. And the final part I wanted to get to here had to do with the doctor that they show from this clinic, Dr. Sandra Camacho Otero. And they try to make the point here in the video of how she has written the most medical marijuana recommendations of anyone, over 8,000 recommendations. But again, that's not surprising. When so many doctors won't recommend medical marijuana in this state, there are over 16,000 doctors in this state, but only 3,000 that are recommending medical marijuana. Many of them can't recommend because they work for a federal hospital or a hospital that's getting federal money somewhere, or they work for a private practice who has decided to set a policy that they're not allowed to do it, or they'll get fired. There's also HMOs that get involved and say, no, you can't recommend medical marijuana. So to have a specialist like Dr. Camacho Otero who's going to sign for people, that's not surprising when you have this whole supply and demand. There's a big demand for it, and she's one of the few people supplying these recommendations. It would be like an abortion provider in Wichita, Kansas, doing the majority of abortions in Wichita, Kansas. There's probably not a lot of abortion doctors in Wichita, Kansas. We'll be back tomorrow with more news, interviews, information, music, comedy, and more you can use for the cannabis community. Maybe even a pre-recorded rant. Who knows? Drat. Hate it when this stuff happens. Thanks for being understanding with the technical difficulties. We'll see if we can get those things played tomorrow. For Cannabis Carrying Ganja John, I'm Radical Russ. Check out Normal Foundation, normal.org, and our blog, stash.normal.org. And until next time, take care of each other, tokers.
This is Normal Show Live, the voice of the marijuana nation.
Take it on one more time. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you try it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you try it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you try it, you roll it, you smoke it, and it goes down smooth.